You're listening to the Liberty Hopecast. This is the podcast where three friends who work in the helping profession sit down together, and we have conversations about big issues and little issues that we face. We'd love for you to join us for these conversations. Hi, everyone. This is Hope. I wanted to introduce our guest. This is going to be a two-part episode. We had talked about having somebody on who would talk about internal family systems, or IFS, model of therapy. And we were so honored that Tammy Sullenberger agreed to come on our podcast and interview with us about this model. So it'll be two parts. The first part, we learn a little bit about how the model is set up, what are the words that are used, and then the second part, Tammy talks with us about the interactions that can happen between this idea of Enneagram, which we spent a whole season discussing, and how IFS might nicely connect with that. So Tammy is a licensed clinical mental health counselor and an internal family systems, or IFS, certified supervisor. She holds a Master of Arts in Marriage and Family Counseling from the New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary. As a community support therapist in a community mental health center, she worked with adults who struggle with mental illness. There, she developed a dialectical behavioral therapy, or DBT, skills program. Tammy received her clinical mental health license in 2007 and shifted to a group therapy practice where she saw both adolescent and adult clients and continued to run DBT groups. In 2011, she began a private practice. So we are really excited to be able to share with you the conversation we were able to have with her. Hope you enjoy it.
Hello.
Hi, is this Tammy?
It is Tammy. Hi.
Hi. This is Hope, and I'm here with Katie and Mary.
Hello.
Hi.
We are so excited to be able to talk to you.
Yes, I am excited too. We've been playing phone tag for so long.
Yes. So what I was really wanting, I had been kind of referencing IFS in talks we'd had before, and I wanted to really have somebody who was an expert in it come and kind of just explain the model and how it's been helpful for you. And then, of course, we talked about the tie-in with Enneagram, too, which I'm really excited about. Would you be okay to kind of tell us a little bit of your story and how you got involved with IFS and how you
sure.
found it helpful?
Yeah, totally. So, and a part of me is already like, oh my gosh, you cannot tell a short story to make this like, only say the relevant part. And of course now my dog and my son, who've been completely ignoring me for the past hour, are now all up in my grill. Okay. So, and a part of me is feeling really frustrated by that, and another part of me doesn't care. So, they're just, and it's mom life, right? Like, that's
yeah.
what happens in mom life when you're trying to do all the things. So, yeah, what happened was I actually was at a conference about something else, and it was a child therapy conference, and I don't see children. I used to see a lot of teenagers, but it was just, like, really boring conference, and I only went because my friends were going, which is totally something I would do. Like, oh, my friends are doing this thing, so I'm going to go. And during the workshop, the woman started talking about this new, so I live like an hour from Boston, and so she started talking about this new up-and-coming therapy that everyone was talking about in Boston, and of course, a part of me wants to know, right, like, oh, what's the new and upcoming thing, like, I want to do that, and so she started talking about IFS, and the thing that really got me, that really struck out to me, was she started talking about being curious, and I thought, it's so weird, and I think I probably, like, dissociated for the rest of the time, but I just started thinking about this idea of being curious, because that's not how I learned to do therapy. Like, I learned to do therapy, like, we challenge thoughts, we reframe, we restructure, we, you know, do analysis of behavior, you know, so that's what we do. Like, we're analyzing everything to death. We're all intellectual, all in our heads. And so I thought, wow, if we brought this idea of curiosity, like, if I brought that idea to my clients, like, how that would shift things. And then I thought, like, well, what if I brought that idea to myself? say, the parts of me, and I didn't have this languaging then, but the parts of me who, you know, want to yell at my kid for playing with the dog and getting the dog to bark. You know, if I was curious about that part, or if I went ahead and yelled at my kid and, you know, had a temper tantrum and acted like a 10-year-old like he is, then being curious about that, like, what was happening with me and why I did that? And so I just thought that's just so interesting. So I went back to my office and I Googled IFS and I found that Dick, the founder, was going to be at this week-long conference in the summer. And so I signed up, and it just, you know, it just changed my life. So at the conference, Dick, you know, explains the model. But then we had all these experiential exercises. And during those exercises, like, I felt like I was someone, like, I cry. I'm a big crier. I cry at everything. But I felt like I was someone who was always, like, near tears all the time. And I remember ugly crying about this idea, and I would have never been able to tell you this, like, intellectually, but the idea that, like, when my mom married my stepdad when I was 10, that I lost my mom. Like, just the heart of me feels like I lost my mom. And I would have not, if you asked me about that before this moment, I would have been like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, no. I don't, no. Let's go have some cookies. Like, no, that's not a thing. So I was, like, ugly sobbing. And I think, you know, so in IFS, the idea is that there's this part of me, this 10-year-old part, that held all this grief and loss around this shift in my family. And then I had all these other protective parts that kept me from feeling her energy. Like, they kept me, like, up in my head, really intellectual, really analytical. And I could have told you, here's my family story, and I would have used humor, you know, about my parents and all this craziness and that family and half sisters and all this craziness in my family. And I would have laughed, ha, ha, ha. But all of that, that's all a protector. And the part of me that would explain it that way, very up in my head, so that I wouldn't feel the pain, right? Sort of the pain that's sort of in my belly and my heart around loss and grief and what that was like. So that really was, it was really life-changing for me. And I left there. And a big part of IFS is you have to do your own work. So if you have to do, as a therapist, you have to do your own work. And so I immediately got an IFS therapist, a local IFS therapist, and I started seeing her. And then I did a level one training. And then, I was hooked. So I did a level one training, and then I assisted at a training, and I spoke at a conference, and then I have a podcast, and I wrote a book that'll be out in December. It's a life-changing model. It's changed my life, and I see it change my clients' lives. The IFS community is a warm, welcoming, loving community, and I'll stop talking now, but just, yeah.
That was awesome.
I can't say enough about it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Totally resonating with you on so much of that. So what is it when you are introducing the model to people who maybe aren't familiar with it or just a little bit familiar? How do you describe it?
Yeah. So, you know, it's one of these kind of weird things. And in some ways, it's really simple, but it's pretty complex. So what I normally say and what I'll say right now is that we are all multiple. It's the first thing that IF says is we're all multiple. So we all have parts and we're naturally multiple. Like, we're not, it's not a diagnosis. It's not a disorder. Like, it's just, we are naturally multiple. So people will say, you know, part of me wants a cookie. A part of me wants kale. A part of me wants, that's my favorite one, right? Like, I'm going to have kale for dinner. And actually, I just eat my son's macaroni and cheese out of the pan. I have a kale salad. Right, like that. Those are parts of me. So, right, and you guys probably can relate to that, right?
Oh, yeah, apparently.
Yes, exactly. And so we're all that way. We all have these different parts. And so we're all multiple that way. So part of me wants to do this, part of me wants that. People might even say, like, I'm of two minds, right? I have one, in one part of my mind, I want this. And the other part of my mind, I want this. And that's sort of the natural way we are. So that's sort of the first tenet, is that we all have these parts. And what happens in our lives is that we're born and we naturally have parts. And they're not burdened. They're just parts that help us. They say, like, hey, let's cry when we need food. And let's laugh when mommy's playing with us. And it's sort of all these really nice natural parts. But then they take on these burdens, whether we get, and we all have them, right? Like, my son has a zillion of them already. So they, you know, these burdens of either sort of neglect or, I mean, obviously abuse, or even beliefs that we start to believe about ourselves, and these parts take on these burdens. So, like I explained with my, like, 10-year-old, so I have this 10-year-old part, or I had a 10-year-old part who had this huge amount of grief, right? This huge amount of grief. And so then we call, in IFS, we call that an exile. So there's three types of parts. One, this exile is sort of the part that we exile away. We kind of keep them in the basement. We say, nope, I don't want to feel those feelings. I don't want to deal with that. Let's just lock that up in the basement. So she gets locked up in the basement. And then up in the house are these two other types of parts, and we call those protector parts. And one protector part is the one that manages our lives. It's that part, those parts manage our lives so that we never feel the exile energy. So I might be, you know, very organized. I might be very perfectionism. I might be a workaholic. There might be all these things that help me organize and manage my life so that exile never comes up there. So those are our manager parts. And then on the other side of the house, we have these firefighter parts. And what happens with firefighter parts is, sometimes we, you know, and this is not an IFS word, this is a word that we all use, we get triggered, right? I manage my life really well so that the boy and the dog do not bark while I'm doing a podcast, right? But guess what? It happens. Mm-hmm. So when that happens, I might get triggered. And when an exile gets triggered, like when an exile comes upstairs, the firefighter does whatever it has to do to get that exile downstairs. And so with the firefighter behaviors are often our addictions. They're the behaviors we don't like, right? So they're the eating and the drugging and the sex stuff and all the stuff that are kind of those behaviors and those things that we don't like to talk about and we feel a lot of shame around. But really those behaviors are just parts of us who are dealing and trying to keep those exiles down. So does that make sense?
I love that.
Yeah.
Yes, go on.
It's kind of hard to figure out who is going to speak. Like, if you have three people, like three hosts. Like, how do you guys do that? So that you're not all talking.
It naturally flows somehow. It's kind of a nice little merriment of communication and just kind of feeling like we're all just having girl talk.
I love it. So we're all multiple, and those are three types of parts that we have, the three types of parts. And the big thing about IFS that is the special cherry on top is that we all have what we call the self. And so the self is the natural born leader of our system. So we're all born with the self. And the self has those C qualities, like a C, they all start with the letter C. So calm, connected, clarity, creative, compassionate, clear-minded. So when you're in self, or you have self energy, there's sort of different ways of saying that. That is when, you know, we've all had it. I think of a time where you did a hike and you were on top of a mountain and you were looking out over like the fall leaves. You had a sense of peace and clarity and you had this really peaceful feeling in your body. And we would call that the self. And so healing happens in IFS when the self goes to those parts, like goes to the protector part and befriends them, gets to know them, and then goes down to the basement and heals those exiled little parts of us, those young parts that are stuck in hard times and hard memories and hard places. And self goes in and heals them, and not to get rid of them, but to actually say, like, come out of the basement, come upstairs, come outside, let's go in the yard, let's play. And then that brings in characteristics of playfulness into our systems, right? So my 10-year-old, so now she's like roller skating, because hello, it was like the 80s. So now she's like roller skating and she's having a good old time. She doesn't have to hold on to all these feelings anymore, right? She doesn't have to hold on to this grief. So she's out of the basement and she's roller skating. And now I have those qualities. I have, as I move around my life, I have more qualities of creativeness and playfulness and joy, right? That grief sort of can turn into joy when those parts don't have to hold on to that grief anymore. And then those protectors don't have to work so hard to keep her down in the basement.
So beautiful.
Yes, I love it. So I have a part, now that I've discovered this model, that just wants to go hyper evangelist and tell everybody I meet.
Yeah. Might be an addiction to IFS.
So, and I, because I have found, I got my own IFS therapist. I'm doing what trainings I can until I can maybe get into a level one someday with the 7,000 long waiting list.
Yeah.
But, so, and I try to tell people as I've been doing my work and experiencing the difference it's made for me, I have that story, but I would love to hear, because you hear so much about, like, well, does it make a difference? Does it really, drudging up all this stuff, like, isn't that just going to put me in a worse place? You can't change the past. So all those kind of things. things? What are some things found with your work, either personally or with clients, where you can say, no, this really does change things for people?
Yeah, that's such a great question. So two things. One, I would say is get to know your skeptical parts, right? The parts that, of you that are skeptical, that are the parts you are skeptical, like this is baloney, maybe it doesn't work, or the parts of you that are like, I'm not going dredging all that back up, right? Like, so I would get to know those parts first. So I think those are protector parts, like those are manager parts, and they have a really good point of like, do I want to go into the basement and look around and see all these exiles? Like, no, thank you. I'm fine up here eating my macaroni and my cookie and eat my cookies. Like, I'm fine as can be. So I think the first thing is I would go to those parts, right, and hear their concerns and let them know that that makes sense. And in self, I can do that. Like, I can say, hey, I hear that. And then one of the things that we always ask is, what are you afraid would happen? Right? What are you afraid would happen if we do that? What are you afraid would happen if I did look at the impact of my mom going from, like, a single mom, you know, for 10 years and then having my mom get remarried? Like, you know, what are you afraid would happen? And then I could hear that part would tell me, right? I'm afraid that you would cry all the time. I'm afraid it would be so overwhelming. I'm afraid that, you know, I hear this all the time from clients. I'm afraid I'm going to find out something that I don't want to know, right? Like, there's so much in my past. I don't want to know that. I hear that all the time. And so I'm just going to be with those fears. Like, so we talk about that in level one, which, you know, no one can get into. So we talk about those protector fears that, you know, they have, and they have every right to those fears. So I'm going to really befriend and listen to those fears. So that's like the number one thing. And then personally, I can say, like, speaking of my mom, I have no idea why I'm talking about this so much right now, but I guess maybe because of the Cape Cod thing, but I'm like, wow, this is so interesting that I keep talking about this. But so my mom, so I think the thing for me is, Because of like sort of what happened, we had this sort of, I think, kind of disconnected relationship, which I wouldn't have said that before, but I think that's what it was. And after that Cape Cod experience, and after I really did like so much sobbing in therapy, I remember one time I went down to my basement and my mom had given me this Tupperware box that's full of pictures of us when I was little and just the two of us. And I sat there and I just sobbed but I felt the like joy. And I remember, this is what it was. I remembered how much I loved my mom and how close we were. And it was like, it allowed me to feel that love I had for her. And now we're so much closer. And I would have never told you that could have happened. But that, like, we're so much closer. And like, what, there's like some stuff happening in my life and my mom has been there for me. She's got my back. I mean, I'm just so grateful for my mom. And I don't know that that would have happened. You know, it's just beautiful. And I know that's not going to happen for everybody, but I think that's a really good, like, where I was at Cape Cod was, right, like, so disconnected. And then now, yeah, it's just, you know, that grief and that pain really can turn into love, and it really opens me up to be like, how else can I be loving? How else can I give love and experience love? Because I haven't been able to do that for a long time for a lot of different reasons. So yeah,
it's like you can't.
But yeah, I mean, it's worth it.
Yeah, you can't heal it unless you allow yourself to feel it.
Exactly, exactly. And look, let's be with the parts that say, I don't care, right? I don't want to feel it. I don't want to feel it. And so, okay, let's start there. There's always a place to start. And I think I just did a workshop with a woman, and we did this workshop this weekend. And this woman, one of the participants said, like, who are we talking about? Inner critics, right? So a lot of times I say start with your critic, because your critic is going to get in the way. It's going to jump in. Let's start with befriending your inner critic. We all have them. They sound different. They look different. I think depending on your Enneagram type, your inner critic is going to be a little bit different. And so she said, so we're starting with inner critic, and I kind of like led her to kind of go inside, check in with your body. She does not know IFS, but just check in with your body, what's happening right now. And she's like, I've got a block. I can't do this. I'm like, let's start with that part that says I can't do it. Like, we can't even get to the critic. All I feel is a block. Great. Let's get to know that part. Let's get to know the part of you that's blocking you right now. And she was able to do that in some ways and came up to me after this workshop with a huge smile and was like, I want to text you, and da da da. And I was like, I mean, she was lit up. This woman that did not know IFS came in flat affect. This isn't going to work. I don't want to do this. I don't want to be here. Here's a zillion reasons why I have to go, and was lit up and hanging out afterwards. Love it. Amazing.
So what have you noticed difference-wise in your work with clients, particularly with your old model of doing things and then using IFS?
Yeah. Well, one thing that I can say, I mean, I feel like clients get better. And not get better as in, like, not like there's sort of an end mark, but so today I was working with a girl who also has found the Enneagram and has helped her so much. But I'm like, so I have plenty of clients, because I was a therapist for a long time before I learned IFS, and so I have plenty of clients that I saw beforehand and now I see, so sort of didn't do IFS with and now do IFS with. And this one girl, she's in her 20s, and she, I love it. Like, she knows the model. She knows she knows it now, right? We've worked with it together. And what I can see in her is, it's almost like, so there's two things. One thing is, she has skills and tools that she uses outside of sessions that really help her. She has not just tools, like grounding tools, which I think are important and have a place, but she has a way of thinking about herself and the world that helps her in her life, right? The way she thinks about her own part and her parts of her partner, that right there helps her. The idea that she has a self and herself can be strong and can be capable, like, that helps her. Like, so it's just the impact of this model. Like, so it's like, it's the growth people can do in session and outside of session. I mean, in session, it's just an amazing, beautiful experience. And then they come back with so much growth and so much light and so much healing. It's amazing. And then as a therapist, I'm not working as hard, right? Like, I know the model. I'm using sort of the protocols, but I'm not arguing. God, I don't know, like, arguing with people or debating with people. Like, I have another college kid that I started seeing when she was, like, I don't know, she might have been 12 with, like, major depression, and she's grown so much, and I just adore her. And, you know, she knows IFS now, and she teaches it to her boyfriend, but I can see her. Like she's doing so well. Like, I see kids and people do really well. And okay, that was my point about her. So that girl, I remember it would be exhausting, sort of like with the, like, you know, she's terrible and nobody likes her. And I would then say, like, no, everybody likes you, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Like, all your friends, let's look at all the evidence and all the people that like you, and let's challenge ourselves. That's exhausting, right? That's exhausting. And what I'm doing is I'm just arguing with her protector.
Yeah.
Like, the protector that says, I have no friends, nobody likes me. I'm just arguing with them. Like, my part is arguing with her part.
Right.
And that's not helping anybody. Right. I might feel better, but not really. And now, you know, now when she says that, right, like, no, you know, nobody likes me or whatever, like, she probably doesn't say that. But if she was to say that, I would handle that totally different, right? So if someone came into my office and they said, nobody likes me, I don't have any friends, I would say, okay, so a part of you thinks that nobody likes you and tells you that you have no friends.
Mm-hmm.
What else does that part tell you? So I want to hear everything that part tells. Like, let's give that part a voice. What else does that part mm-hmm. tell you?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to let that part say whatever it wants. And then I'll say, okay, how do you feel towards that part? Like, how do you feel towards that part? And they might say, I hate it. It gets in my way. It ruins my life. I'm like, okay, I hear another part of you really hates that part. So let's ask that part to go wait in the waiting room or just give you a little bit of space and see if it'll do that. And it will. Like, magically, it will. And then I'll say, okay, how do you feel towards it now? And I'll keep doing that until I get one of those C words. I'm kind of curious. Like, why is this part telling me that nobody likes me? Like, I have these great friends. So I'm curious. Okay, let's show that part or send that part that curiosity. So as you send that part that curiosity, what happens? And so it'll be like, oh, okay. And the part usually really likes it. Oh, wow. Like, you're giving me attention. You're not fighting with me. So let's find out, like, what is that part afraid would happen if it didn't do that? If it didn't tell you you didn't have any friends? Well, maybe then I would fail, or I would, you know, maybe I would lose all my friends because I wouldn't be a good friend, or, you know, sort of what's the fear there? And then you have, and the person is telling, you can even see them in their body, like, totally softening, and just that alone, just we call it unblending, right? Here's me and here's a part. There's so much healing that comes from that, just that alone. There's me and there's a part of me. Part of me that says I have no friends. Okay, I get that. I feel that. I might notice where that's in my body. Part of me that tells me I have no friends. And yeah, I'm just going to be curious about that part and then see where that takes me.
Oh, I love that so much.
We hope this podcast was helpful for you. As always, the show notes contain tips regarding today's topic and links for resources, as well as links for how to get in touch with us online. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider leaving us a positive review on iTunes, as it helps others find our show. We'd love for you to join us again for next week's conversation.